1999. I was sitting in the hospital in Beaumont, Texas, with Marita the day after Ethan was born, and the phone rang. It was not somebody calling to congratulate us on Ethan. It was rather the phone call that I received to find out that my dad was in the hospital in Jonesboro, Arkansas, having been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We were told at that time that 5% of those diagnosed with pancreatic cancer live for 2 years, 2% live for 5 years, and the rest die within 1 year. But my dad decided he was not going to take that lying down. He was going to fight it, tooth and toenail. And so he did what the doctor said to him, and then he did a bunch of reading and research on his own and tried to do other things, natural means, juicing, and all kinds of other things that might be helpful. He wanted to cling to life. I can hardly imagine what it must be like to have been handed a death sentence. And I have no idea how I will react if that happens to me at some point. I hope, however, that I react in a way similar to what Paul did. You see, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26, Paul was clinging to life. He was facing a similar situation. He had been sentenced to death, possibly was going to be executed. And yet he knew he was going to be delivered. Listen to what Paul says again in Philippians 1, beginning at verse 19. "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." Paul was, in fact, clinging to life, but not from the motivation that so many that I have witnessed. He was not clinging to life because he was afraid of death. He was clinging to life for a greater purpose. And yet so many Christians that I see today that are facing death cling to life as if it is the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anyone. But that was not Paul's approach. Yes, when we face death, it's okay to cling to life. But let's examine why Paul was clinging to life and see what it means about our lives. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, thank you for life. Thank you for granting us life. Thank you for giving us the blessings that we have in this life. And Father, we're thankful most of all that you have saved us and given us eternal life. And we're thankful that you allow us in this life to be a part of your plan, to spread your gospel and to help strengthen others and to help one another grow. And we're thankful for those that you have given us in our lives that can help us grow. And we pray that you would help us to cling to this life from a proper motivation, but when we face our death, that we might face it with faith in you, knowing that you will walk us through it and that you will be there when we come through on the other side. And Father, help us to live by faith and to die by faith so that you might be glorified whether we live or die. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for loving us. Through your Son we pray. Amen. The very first thing that we need to understand about Paul clinging to life is the fact that Paul did not cling to life because of personal gain. Yes, he did cling to it, but not for personal gain. In fact, there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When Paul considered what would be better for him, what would be gain, he didn't think living was gain for him. Dying was gain for him. So when he clung to life, it was not because he was worried about missing out on something down here. When he clung to life, it wasn't because he was thinking about all the money he still wanted to make or all the entertainments he still wanted to enjoy. When he clung to life, it was not because he was afraid of who he was going to miss or who might miss him. When he clung to life, it wasn't for personal gain. You see, in fact, what Paul recognized is that if he died, that would be better for him. In verse 23, he says, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better. You see, for him, gain would have been to go on and be with Christ. He understood the same principle that Peter explains in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, where it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Paul was looking forward to an inheritance. He was looking forward to something that was imperishable and undefiled, and that would be better. Paul himself wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he pointed out that all the stuff that he goes through in this life was not deterring him from his goal. Why? Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For Paul, looking beyond death was a matter of seeking glory. He planned on experiencing glory after he had died. So when he clung to life, it was not because of personal gain. You see, for the child of God, death is not an awful thing. It is not the worst possible thing that could happen. In fact, in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, we see the death of one of God's saints. And in Luke 16, 22, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side or Abraham's bosom. For the child of God, death is rather pictured of a deliverance unto peace, comfort, security in Abraham's bosom. Paul clung to life. But he did not cling to it for personal gain. He did not cling to it because of what he would get out of living longer. And I'll tell you the thing that I learned from that. Is that if this life represents more gain for me than the next, something is wrong. Something is wrong. But Paul did cling to life. I don't want us to go away from this passage thinking that what this means is we should all go about seeking our death. That's not what Paul did. Paul did cling to life, but it wasn't for personal gain. Why did Paul cling to life? Well, according to Philippians chapter 1, Paul clung to life to further the cause of Christ. Remember, he said that to die was gain in verse 21, but to live was Christ. To live is Christ, he said. Why did he want to live? Because that is what would further the cause of Jesus Christ. That is what would bring glory to God. That is what would help accomplish more of God's will in his own life and in the life of others around him. Very interestingly, when you begin to study the Psalms, you find a lot of passages where folks are asking for deliverance. God, the enemies are coming against me. I might die. I might end up in the pit. I might go to Sheol. Please don't let that happen. Over and over again in the Psalms, when they express why they want to be delivered, it's not about their own lives, it's not about their own glory, it's about the glory of God. Look in Psalm 6. In the 6th Psalm, verse 4 and 5, Turn, O Lord, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. Why? For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? He's talking about being before the people and the fact that once he's gone into the grave and he's gone to death, he's not going to be able to praise God before the people anymore. No one will be able to hear God's praise once he is dead. What's he concerned about? His own life? His own personal gain? No, he's concerned about the glory of God. Look in Psalm 30. In Psalm 30, verses 8, 9, and 10. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Lord, I want your help. I need your mercy. I don't want to die. Why? Because then I won't be able to tell of your wonderful works and your praise, and I won't be able to glorify you, and I won't be able to tell folks about what you've done for me once I die. There's no benefit in my death because I won't be able to praise you anymore. Even in Psalm 88, the one psalm that is the bleakest psalm. It starts bad, it's bad through the middle, and it ends bad. In Psalm 88, Heman the Ezrahite is upset. And he's even mad at God, but he's continuing to pray to God. Why? In verse 9 of Psalm 88, "My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" Even Heman, as he is expressing all this fear and even anger towards God, as he's asking for deliverance, why? So that he can tell of God's greatness, so that he can glorify God, so that he can lift him up in the presence of others and folks can learn about how amazing God is. If he dies, he's not going to be able to do that. Why should we cling to life? Not because of all the things we're afraid we're going to miss out on, not because of all the experiences we haven't gotten to have yet, not because we want to go to Disney World or make sure to get to see the Hobbit movie next year, not because we want to make sure to see our kids graduate from college or our grandkids, but because there's still work to be done for the Lord. And if we die, we won't be able to do that anymore. Paul clung to life, but not for personal gain. Paul clung to life because that would further the cause of Christ. But that's not all we see in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, corresponding with the cause of Christ, we see that Paul clung to life in order to serve others. In verse 24 it says, "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." Why did Paul cling to life? Because of the service that he could offer to others. Because there was work that he could do in helping others. We might consider this even with our kids. Not that we're just looking forward to those wonderful days when they'll graduate college or whatever they might, or their wedding or that birth of the first grandchild. But recognizing that, hey, we've still got work to do here. We can work with our kids. We've got to help them grow. That's what we're thinking about. Or serving others within the body of Christ. All the services. I mean, look around you at the opportunities for service that you have. When we're clinging to life, is it about these folks that we gather with? Or is it just about us? Or what about the folks in the world who still need the gospel preached to them, who still need to know about Dial a Bible Study, who still need to know about our Jesus Christ who has saved us and can save them? Do we think about them? Paul clung to life in order to serve others. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Who did Christ strive to please? Who did Christ strive to serve? He served those who needed service. He served us. Paul clung to life because he wanted to be of service. He wanted to help those who needed help. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, Peter tells us, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Every gift that we have, every opportunity, every resource, every ability, God has given that to us not to hoard to ourselves, not to use for our own gain and for our own entertainment, but rather to use in service to others. And Paul clung to life so that he could have that opportunity to serve others, to use those gifts and those abilities. If God was going to give him more opportunity by allowing him to live longer, he was going to use that opportunity to serve others. Paul clung to life. But he clung to life not for his personal gain. He clung to life so that he could further the cause of Christ and so that he could serve others. And so what this says to me as we wrap this up, and don't be too shocked at that. This is just a short one today. Won't happen next week, don't worry. what this brings to my mind as we wrap this up is that you need to live like you're dying. You know, several years ago, Tim McGraw had that song. Anybody like that song? Live Like You Were Dying. I love that song. I hate country music, but I like that one. Just one of the few. And it tells a story about a fella who was in his early 40s and he learned that he had cancer. And somebody asks him, what do you do when you get that kind of news? And basically the fella says, I started living like I should have been living the whole time. And doesn't that often happen for folks? When finally we get that message that it's about to be all over, if we're given that time and it's not just something that happens suddenly, a lot of folks have that major turnaround. All of a sudden they begin to look at things differently and everything gains a perspective that we didn't have before when we thought we were going to live for years and years and years. And suddenly things change and we begin to correct things and turn around and change things. But sadly, for all too many, that change and that turnaround is really just a bargaining chip to use with God in hopes that we can manipulate Him into giving us more life because we think death is the worst possible thing in the world. And if that death sentence is removed and the cancer goes into remission, or we find out that the diagnosis was wrong, or some medicine comes out and fixes the problem, all of a sudden that feeling and perspective shifts back and eventually, we just go back to that old way of doing things. You see, the thing that I get from Philippians chapter 1 is that Paul was able to face death like this because he didn't just start living this way when he thought he was going to die. This is how Paul lived all the time. The thing that I have to understand is that I'm not going to just suddenly change when I get a bit of bad news. If I am not willing to live now in order to further the cause of Christ and serve other people, why do I think that when I'm diagnosed with cancer or some other terminal disease, suddenly I'm going to change? Paul didn't start living like this when he learned he might die. This is how Paul always lived. And because life was Christ for Paul, death was gain for Paul. Did you catch that? That statement is true. The second half of that statement is true because the first half was already true. Because for Paul to live was Christ, therefore to die was gain. You see, the real question that we're dealing with here today is not how am I going to face a death sentence. The real question that we're looking at here this morning, understand, is not if I get that bad news, how am I going to react? The real question is today, not having received that bad news, how am I living? Can I say that for me right now, to live is Christ? Only when I can say that, can I say to die is gain. And only when I can say that will I cling to life for the proper reasons. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. We're children of God. Death is not the worst possible thing that could happen to us. And for our family members who are children of God, death is not the worst possible thing that could happen to them. No, we don't go around seeking death. Christians are not suicidal, trying to escape the world. But we cling to life for different reasons than the rest of the world. We don't cling to life out of fear. We don't cling to life because this is better than what's coming. We cling to life because we've got work to do. We cling to life because life is where Jesus is served and the gospel is spread. We cling to life because there are others around us that we want to help. And when we cling to life for that reason, when the day comes that we can no longer cling to life, and that day will come for all of us, then that day will be a deliverance. And it will be a glorious day for us. If to live is Christ, to die will be gain.